Good morning, church. My name is Jasmine, and I've been at PCC for a while, but consistently for about the last 13 years or so. I've been helping at children's ministry before. I've spent many summers during VBS. I currently volunteer with the middle school ministry, and I help out with the meals team here at Pacific Coast Church. I wanted to share with you this morning a little bit about this journey that I have been on. In the last year and a half or so, I've really been struggling with worry and anxiety. It started with, there were some life events that happened in my life that I just didn't have any control over. My sister-in-law, who lived with us for many years, passed away unexpectedly, which created a lot of sadness for our family, but also some new financial challenges. I was starting a new role at my part-time job that I really wasn't excited about. My relationship with my mom at the time was really challenging and difficult. My husband had some health issues and needed to have an emergency surgery. And my son, who I had been homeschooling for the last 8 years or so, was now going to be going into public high school, San Clemente High School, which I actually also went to. And so him starting at a public high school really brought up some memories of things that happened when I was in high school there. Three classmates passed away when I was in school there. Two of them were being reckless, riding up Veracruz, and got in a car crash. The ASB president, who was also the cheerleading captain, got caught throwing a party and took her own life. So all of those events happened a while ago, and these were all things that I thought that I had dealt with and been through. But now, thinking about my son being in the world created a lot of worry for me, and it was a huge sense of lack of control for me that was coming up in this next stage of life for us. So I do know that we are never really in control and that God has a plan, but it really felt like I was in control homeschooling all my kids for all of those years. So now my son was going to be in the world learning who knows what from who knows who, and it really scared me. So it was all that worry of my son starting and all of these new things, feelings came up, all these life events that were happening last summer that really created in me this new worry. Now, it's taken me a little bit of time to get to this point of being able to share with you guys what my fears and concerns were. When I was beginning my worry and anxiety journey, I didn't really know what was going on. I had never really experienced anxiety or worry like that before in my life. My childhood had lots of changes. Most of them were negative. My parents got divorced when I was 3. I've had multiple step-parents in my life. Some of them were not very nice to my parents or my brother and I. I moved around quite a bit. I probably lived in about 9 or so different houses by the time I graduated high school. I went to different schools for 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th grades. We moved out of state and we came back. And so I lived with my mom when I was younger, and then my brother and I moved in with my dad when I came here into San Clemente High School. Some years, we would have these great big holidays with step-grandparents and relatives, and they were great, and they would tell us that they loved us, and then the next year, they were gone, and we never heard from them ever again, really. So change in my life has always felt really hard, really difficult, and scary sometimes. But as a kid, I just kept going. I tried really hard to just do whatever my parents told me to do, to try and to make and to keep the peace in our family. As an adult, having the opportunity to homeschool my kids and kind of have a say in what they were experiencing was great. I wasn't doing it on purpose, but looking back, it really fed my ability to be in control and make sure that their childhood was good and safe in comparison to my childhood. So the school year started last year, and my son and daughter were in new schools. I started a new job. My family was getting used to life without my sister-in-law. My mom and I were in a much better place. We're in a great place now. My husband recovered from his surgery, but I was still really struggling with lots of worry and some anxiety. I was having trouble sleeping. Food didn't taste good to me anymore. I cried all the time, and I felt like I was a terrible daughter of a very loving God. When I would share my struggles with my friends about my anxiety, a lot of my friends would be like, oh yeah, I've had anxiety before. Yeah, I'm still struggling with that now. And to me, these are friends that I had known for a really long time, like a really long time. And I didn't, how could they not tell me about these things? It was just really interesting to me. And I know that God makes everyone different. I know we all process things differently, but it was just such a huge surprise to me that so many people were struggling with worry and anxiety and didn't share it with me or anybody else. I am still currently struggling with a little bit of an anxiety and worry, but for me, it's gotten a lot better. For me, what's really helped is praying. I pray all the time. I try and give each day, sometimes each hour, even sometimes each minute, I try and give to God. I listen to a lot of worship music. I've been talking to a counselor. I exercise, trying to eat healthy, and talking to my friends and my family really helps me a lot. And I know it doesn't always change the things that are happening in life, but it sure makes me feel like I'm not alone. My sweet husband has had many tear-stained shirts in the last while, and I've actually got lots of friends here that have listened to me. You all know who you are through this process. So, also through this process for me, I've realized what one of my biggest fears is, like the root of a lot of my worry. And for me, my biggest fear is being alone. In my childhood, being alone meant hiding in a closet while my dad and my brother yelled, screamed, and threw things at each other. I've never actually lived alone before, and I really, really enjoy being with people, but God, I know God is and has and will always be with me. There are still times now where I feel like I must be a bad daughter of God because I've struggled so much with worry, but I really think that's exactly where Satan wants me to be, because I do believe and I know that God has been with me through this whole process, and he's really been working in my life a lot lately. If you struggle with worry, I would encourage you to share your struggles with a close friend, a pastor, maybe a counselor, and I really want you to know you are not alone. It has not been fun through this process at all, but I do think that I've learned so much about myself, I've learned so much about God, and I'm sure I'm not just there yet, but I do believe that this will be an experience that I wouldn't trade. Thanks for listening.
How great is that? That is so tough and so brave that she came up here. And we're just going to another round of applause for Jasmine. That's right. Well, my name is Matt McGill. If we haven't met yet, I'm one of the pastors on staff. I am so glad that you are here today. As you probably can tell, our topic that we are going to be diving into is what the Bible has to say about worry. And just before we kind of jump into the official part of the message, I want to say there's definitely, there's a lot of overlap, but there's definitely two kinds of worry. We're going to today talk about the worry that we bring on our own selves, on our own, the choices that we have and the things that we decide to think about, kind of the worry that we choose. And I know that a lot of us, we have a chronic and continual worry and anxiety and even depression that is based on, you know, brain chemistry and things that I don't really understand. And my point is that while there is some overlap between the worry we choose and the worry we don't, there is some overlap, but they really are two different beasts. And so we're going to talk about the worry we bring on our own lives. Does that make sense? Is that okay? So does that sound good? Does anybody want a different message instead? You want to come up here? You know, it's great. Very, very responsive, this second service. I love it. Well, Jasmine came up and was so, just so real and honest. I'm going to be the same. I have a confession to make. And my confession is that I don't really worry very much. I'm not much of a stress case. I've got different issues. You've probably heard me talk about it before. We're not going to go too much into those. But to me, you know, anger is more my thing. But when worry hits my life, it's like a Category 99 tropical monsoon storm, and it's just crazy and it floors me. And so last weekend, last Saturday, I was hit by this worry. It was, and I'm going to tell you just a little bit about it. So something that you might not know about me is not only am I one of the pastors here on staff, but forget that, I am a very you don't know, I'm a very important person. A very, very, very important person because I serve on the board. I'm on the executive board of our Pop Warner team. And so as a board member, I schedule all the fields for Pop Warner. This is such an important job, really. The state, probably the whole country runs on my efforts. Like if it wasn't for me, life wouldn't happen in America, and certainly not football. Speaking of which, happy Raiders Day, everybody. First day of the Raiders. Oh, Denver, so sorry. I'm praying for you already. That's great. Okay, not part of the message. Stay focused, McGill. What's happening here? Everything is coming off the tracks. So anyhow, last Saturday, a big storm hit my life. And here's what happened is I'm the fields person, told you. And we kept getting all these announcements from the computer system saying, if you don't pay your bills, we're gonna close your account. And then that freaked me out a little bit because scheduling things, like I couldn't have the account closed. So I ignored a few emails for a couple weeks. Why not? And then all of a sudden I was like, you know what? I gotta respond to this at this point. So I asked the president and the treasurer, can I just pay the bill, put it on my credit card? And you know, they're important people. They're not nearly as important as the fields coordinator. But they said yes. And so I paid the bill. I turned in the invoice. And the president looks at it and he says, this is not right. And I'll spare you the details, but because of scheduling errors that I made, we were over by $10,000. So I don't have $10,000 laying around. And his response is, we're not paying that. We're not paying that, and you need to cancel the charge on your credit card. So I was like, okay. So I go to the website, and on the website, you have to lie, or I would have had to lie. I would have had to say they weren't supposed to charge me, but they did. Therefore, do a chargeback. And so here I am. I'm unwilling to pay $10,000, and I'm unwilling to lie to the credit card company because, you know, integrity. And so my only other option is to attack, you know, is to go after the board, go after, you know. And so I'm like, what am I going to do? And I don't want to do that. I mean, I don't want to do that. So I'm in this triple bind. I'm totally stressed out. That Saturday night, I woke up 6 times in the middle of the night. So if you saw me last Sunday and I was a little bit like, that's why I just did not sleep well. And this doesn't happen very often for me. And so why do I tell you all this? First of all, I need to tell you the conclusion. The conclusion is I had to suffer Saturday and Sunday and Monday because it was a stupid holiday. And so it was Tuesday that I got on the phone with the school district and everything was worked out. They uncharged the card and changed it. It's very fantastic. So it was only 4 days. And I know some of you are looking at me, you're kind of smug and you're like, dude, you've only worried for 4 days, try 4 decades. And I get it. I understand worry is an issue for a lot of us. I got my own issues. But the thing that's funny, and here's why I tell you that, is that, Pastor Mark last Friday said, hey, I'd like you to preach next weekend. And I was like, great. And so you kind of begin the process of like, what are we going to teach on? What are you doing? All this stuff. And so it was the fourth time I woke up in the middle of the night. I was really worried. What am I going to do? Do I firebomb the car? And I'm just all these thoughts. Actually, I'm supposed to bring that up a little bit later. That was a true thought that I had, and it's very sick. It's a joke, but it was a real thought, but I'll get to that in a second. But then I did start laughing. I kind of started chuckling, and I probably sounded like the Joker in the Batman, just because I was like, oh, God, I guess I know what you want me to teach on next week, and then there's this very sarcastic prayer of, thank you, God, for this situation, and so I think God still hears the sarcastic prayers. I don't know that he really answers those, but that's why I share all that story. That's what's happening today. Yeah, the message points come off of my journal, scriptures that I look to for comfort and for support, and we're going to get started here by deconstructing deconstructing worry. I love the word deconstruction. I think it's fantastic. One of my kids is in a biology class. The first week of class, they dissected a rat, which how sweet is that? That's either really gross or really awesome. And really how you answer that question is depends on, factors into how much I cool and I love you. You know, so I get it. It's very cool. You got to take it apart to understand it. So we're going to take apart worry. This isn't natural process. This is a little bit unnatural, but I think that it will lead to some insight and some comfort. So the first thing that I want you to see is, what is worry? Worry is concern. It's concern without peace. It's concern without peace. And there's a couple good things about worry. There's some good news as it comes to worry. I'm going to give you one now and one at the end. So you have to pay attention all the way to the end to get the good news. If you fall asleep, your whole life's going to be ruined. But here's the good news about worry is that it comes from a good place. Worry comes from concern. And you ought to be concerned about things. You need to be a responsible person who does stuff and gets things done and makes it happen. You have people counting on you. You ought to have concerns. If you have zero concerns in your life, then you're a couch potato, and that's not what God wants you to be. The second thing there to realize, oh, I was going to say in my own story, in my own life, like it's great for me to want to be a good fields person and do my job, but if fields become so important that I sacrifice the peace, then I have now crossed the line from concern, responsibility, over into worry. I no longer have a peace about me. The next bullet point is this, is that worry issues, they're really control issues. And this, you saw this in Jasmine's story. And the reality is that ultimately worry is a recognition that we don't have control or that we've lost control over a certain thing. Like she said that she had homeschooled her kids for 8 years and then they were going to public school. There's control and then a loss of control. And think about your finances for a second. I mean, our control over finances is so small. I mean, we can control what we spend, but we can't control how much things cost. We can't control setbacks like a huge car repair. I was talking to someone first service, and you know, they had four leaks in their garage. You know, we can't control that sort of thing. And when we can't, when we come to the limits of what we can control, oftentimes the result is worry. The third bullet is that worry grows by repetitive thoughts, And have you ever poured gas on a fire? Has anyone actually done that before? Anybody? Any pyromaniacs? I'm a total pyro. Used to be. I'm a recovering pyro. But it is so cool or hot. Or, you know, you do that. And so when you worry, that's what your thoughts do. They spin round and round and round. And the worry grows and grows and grows. And the more that you get fixated on everything surrounding it, the weight of your worry becomes more and more and more. And the reality is that repetitive thoughts, the fact that you're so focused, that makes the worry even worse. Fourth bullet point is this, is that as we look at worry, worry can lead to worship. Worry can lead to worship. Now it doesn't necessarily lead to worship. In fact, worry is kind of the opposite of worship. I mean, just look at these things here. Is that when you're caught up in a storm of worry, your thoughts, you're not thinking about God, you're thinking about your problem. When you're caught up in a storm of worry, you're thinking about the control that you've lost. You're not thinking about God's ultimate control. When you're caught up in worry, you're totally restless. So I was literally restless last week, and you're not living in the rest that God offers us. But it is possible for worry to be turned, to be redirected into worship. And this is the first scripture on your notes that I'd love for you to look at. Jeremiah writes this, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord," circle the word trusts, "whose confidence," circle the word confidence, "is in him. They'll be like a tree planted by water, has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit." Obviously, a tree can't control the weather, right? I mean, the word picture here is very simple to follow. Some trees are planted by water, maybe it's a river. You know, some trees aren't, and you ought to be the tree that's planted by the water, because the tree can't impact the weather. It doesn't affect whether or not there's a drought or not. The reality is that we're called to trust God, to put our confidence in him, to be nourished by the living water that is Jesus Christ. It is so silly to be focused on the weather and to put all of our hope in that. We can't trust the size of our bank account. We can't trust other people around us, not the same way that we ought to trust God. We can't even trust our own talents and the things that we do well. The reality is that life comes at us, and these things can be turned upside down. Now, here's my heart on this. In life, there is endless opportunities for worry. I know this. I know some of us, where worry is the issue, we've found all of them and categorized them, and there are so many opportunities for worry. But the truth is that there are the same number of opportunities for us to worship God, for us to rest in his peace. And so that's what we're going to spend the rest of our time today talking about. How do we trust God? How do we put our confidence in him? And I've got three ideas for you to consider, and the first one is this, is that if you want to turn your worry into worship, you need to evaluate your thoughts. Of course, with worry, there are so many emotions, there are so many feelings that are swirling around, but there's also a ton of thoughts that go with it also. Worry is like being on this treadmill. There's all this motion, but there's no movement forward, and that's what the treadmill is supposed to do, I guess. I don't really visit the treadmill very often. But that's not what your life is supposed to be. You're not supposed to be just going and going and going and not going anywhere. You're supposed to be headed in a direction. But our thought life can keep us stuck. To evaluate our thoughts, the first thing we need to do is we need to identify them. If you wrote down the word identify, that'll help you remember. We need to identify our thoughts. And this is why the psalmist wrote the following. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, this is a comforting scripture. It's a very difficult one to do because it requires the humility that you would surrender yourself to God. You need to go to God and you need to say to him, search, know, test. And this is all for our benefit, right? It's not for God's benefit. God, just newsflash, God already knows. He knows everything you are worried about. He knows everything inside and still loves you fully and completely. And just rest in that for a second. The fact that everyone you know, even pick the three people you know the most, if they knew everything about you, how scary is that to think about? It is. Some of them kind of got some good laughter, nervous laughter. But God already knows. You're not really giving God permission to search my heart. What you're doing is you're saying, God, I want to know what it is that you see. It's not easy to do, and it's going to get harder. Because the psalmist also says, see if there is any offensive way in me. So you see what's connected there? Anxious, offensive. And maybe you're like, wait a minute. I was kind of liking this sermon up until this point. Is he saying worry is a sin? My anxiousness is offensive to God? No, of course not. I am not saying that. God's saying that. His word is saying that. It's not me. I don't want you to feel guilty. And the reality is God doesn't want you to feel guilty either. He wants you to grow. This ought to be more about growth than it is about guilt. And the second thing we need to do if we're going to evaluate our thoughts, we need to identify what they are, but we also need to label them. We need to label them. And some are offensive to God and some aren't. We need to label the ones that are good and the ones that are bad. We need to label the ones that are wise wise and the ones that are foolish, the ones that are good and the ones that are evil. In my notes, this is where I was supposed to bring up the firebomb. I got one a little earlier, but literally in my head as I was thinking about this, I was like, $10,000, well, oh, I don't have it. I can't lie on the credit card, you know, but to get this guy back, I mean, I wonder, you know, I could throw a Molotov cocktail in his car, you know, and in my mind, I was just thinking that I'm going to need to have an alibi, or, well, I'm a Raiders fan, maybe I can find some unsavory Raiders fans and just pay them to do this, and well, wait a minute, I can't lie because that's a lack of integrity, but I can firebomb a car, like, that's okay, you know, like this is just, I mean, and like I said, I already said this, is that it's silly, but in the moment, I mean, I'm really like, okay, what are my chances of getting away with a firebombing? You know, I mean, but we need to label them. I labeled that as an evil thought, just so you know. No firebombing has happened. Although, just as a personal aside, if you have anything that needs to be burned up, I have never thrown a Molotov. I would like to do that. I think that I should. I actually feel like I deserve to be able to do that. So if you need something burned and you have the alcohol, then let me know and I could do that. First service didn't get that. You're just opening up. So many personal things are happening here today. We need to identify the thoughts. We need to label them. And then we need to replace. We need to replace the bad ones. Look at the next scripture on your notes. This is great. Whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, this is not, we got to be clear on this, and I don't know where you are. You're spiritually, maybe you're here and you're just checking things out, and I think that's awesome, way to be brave for showing up. But this is not the power of positive thinking. Okay, this is not the power of, there's a lot of positive people out there, and there's a lot of positive people out there who don't have a relationship with God, and everything, they're always the silver lining on every subject, you know, and they actually, those people kind of drive me crazy a little bit. If you're one of these super positive people all the time, I mean, I still love you, and that's okay, it's great, but it's just, you know, it's so much deeper than that, and here's the reason why. This is the power of perfect thinking. This isn't positive, this is perfect. A non-Christian doesn't understand truth like a Christian does. A person who hasn't said yes to Jesus doesn't understand God and believe in him and who he said he is. Purity is different for that person than for a person who knows God. I mean, purity, you know, at best, they're just copies. And so, you know, purity, you might think of a young baby and like, oh, the baby is so pure, you know, until you have to change diapers, you know, or the you know, white snow that is so pure. And it's like, no. You could be positive, but this is different. What purity really is, it's God who is totally holy and totally separate. That's purity. He's separate from all that is bad and evil and wrong and foolish. And you know what purity really is? Purity is what happens to us when we say yes to Jesus. We don't do anything. We can't make it happen, but we believe in him, and God makes us pure from the inside out. We're totally new creations, deeper than a molecule level, and I don't even know what that is, but we are made pure because of God. This isn't positive thinking, like, hey, half full cup. This is thinking the same thoughts that God has. And that's what we need to do when we worry. We need to take the thoughts that are bad and we need to replace them with what is good. In my worry storm last weekend, you know, and I shared some of that journey and all that stuff in my head, but, you know, I kind of kept coming back to God saying to me, he didn't say it audibly, that hasn't happened to me, but he just said, hey, Matt, I've got this. And you can't see the end, but I can. And I will take care of you. I've taken care of you in the past. I will take care of you today. And that was a great comfort. That was a truth that I needed to focus on. I'd love to encourage you. I got a quick encouragement here that I know a lot of you are just going to like automatically check out. So I know the face. You're going to prepare the face. You're not going to give me the bad verbals. But here's my encouragement. And I'm not even going to look at you guys anyhow. I would really suggest that you would journal that you would write something down. And you might be thinking like, no, I'm not gonna do that. Dear diary, today I got ice cream. No, you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that you would write something down that you're thinking, that you're experiencing, and just the act of doing that, it slows the thought process. And the words are never perfect. I journal a ton. I've journaled since I was in eighth grade, and I've had to, because my brain is crazy, and it helps me understand what I'm thinking. And it's never perfect. It never reflects 100% what you've got going on, but it does help you evaluate. It helps you identify them. It helps you label them. It helps you come up with what needs to be replaced. I would love to challenge you. If you're kind of scoffing a little bit, then I will appeal to your competitive nature. Try it 3 times this week. Just spend 7 minutes and 3 times, write about something that matters, and if it doesn't work for you or it doesn't help or it doesn't create any sense of insight or peace, then let me know next weekend. I can hear I'm a tough person. I won't judge you, but just try it 3 times, and what's the worst that could happen? 21 minutes all week, but it could really help, especially when we're in the middle of a worry storm and the thoughts are swinging around and swirling. The next point is this: to turn your worry into worship, you need to share your struggle. And Jasmine, of course, talked about this, and we have been talking about this as a church for the last few weeks. The reality is that we all need other people, but there's a few things that I want to bring up on this, and then we'll move on to the last point. Scripture, Paul writes this: carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. When you're in the middle of a worry storm, don't bottle it up. Don't keep it to yourself. You need to share it with someone else. And here's the deal. I get it. I understand. We all like to look perfect or close to perfect. We all know that there's problems inside, but we want to project this nice facade that we have it all together. We know that other people don't have it all together, but when they appear to, we admire that. We're like, oh man, that's great. You know, they really know what's going on. And we kind of play this game, and it's a game that happens in church and outside of the church. It's just part of it is human nature. And I'm not suggesting it's appropriate that, you know, if you're having a bad week and every time someone says, how's it going, you just unload everything. And so you like, so on the patio, you walk 2 steps, you share your whole story, you're crying, you walk 3 steps, someone says, hey, how's it going? You share the whole story. I mean, I'm not saying you need to share everything with everyone. That's not the point. But you need to have a few that you talk with. This is how it even came up with Jasmine and I last weekend on the patio. She said, hey, how you doing? How was your week this week? And I was like, well, let me tell you about my week yesterday. And so I just, you know, unloaded. I just shared, you know, part of the story that you guys just heard. And she listened. She's a great listener. And she says, you know what? Over the last year and a half, I've never been a person who's really worried. But over the last year and a half, worry has really kind of had an impact in my life. And so she shared her story with me. And then afterwards, walking away or we're talking, and I just was like, oh, you know what? You know, man, we gotta have you just encourage everybody with what's going on. And it's a little bit ironic, but you take the person who was worried and you put them in front of the stage in front of everybody. I figured since you sat, you know, you're pretty much through that other worry storm, why not give you another worry storm? Just the way it works here. Last Wednesday, every Wednesday night, we have a young adult ministry. So last Wednesday, my wife and I were leading this, and we got started, and it was super fun. And we just had kind of a basic question. The question was, what should the church look like? Meaning Christians, those of us that love Jesus, like what should our group look like? And think about it this way. 6 months from now, as we've been meeting every week for 6 months, how will we know if we've been a good group or not? Like, have we been successful? 6 months from now, what does that look like? What does God want? And we had great conversations. I mean, man, it was fantastic what people shared. One person said this, I loved it. The word she said was, we need to support one another. And I go, really? I go, what? Tell me what that means. Like, what is that? You know, and she began to unpack that a little bit. But I love it. Here's a person that totally gets it right out of the start, that we need to be a people. The church We ought to be a people that can put our burdens on one another, that we can share the burdens that other people have. The reality is that you need prayer. You need someone else to be praying for you. You also need perspective to break out of the cycle. You need somebody else's perspective. And also the reality is you just need a little bit of a pick-me-up, right? You just need some encouragement. If you end up doing the quiet times this week that are on the back of your notes, one of the scriptures, it says, anxiety weighs down a heart, but a kind word lifts it up. And we need to have positive people in our life. My wife is a very positive person. I work with a lot of positive people. One of them is Kelsey. Kelsey is super positive. If I would have told her, we didn't actually talk about the stress last week, but if I would have told her on Saturday, like, oh man, the McGills could be out 10 grand, you know, she would be like, well, at least it's not 20, you know, and she would have meant every word of it, you know, and it's like, you know, just positive, like lift you up. But did you hear the part about the car bombs? Like that's, you know, maybe I could do that without getting burned. We need to share. We need to share our struggles with others. Number three is this, is we need to ask God for help. We need to ask God for help. And this is the prayer point. And you're not going to get over your worries if you don't talk to God about it. I think in many ways, this is the most important point. So I put it at the end. Communications always involves two things, right? You got to talk and you got to listen. As it relates to the talking part, here's a good scripture. It relates to this subject. Paul writes this. Do not be anxious about anything. Which, how hilarious is this, right? I mean, what's the worst thing to say to a person who's worried? Don't worry. For me, in my life, it's like, what's the worst thing to say when somebody's really angry? You know, don't be mad. It's like, you know, it doesn't help. Are you kidding me? What? Like, don't be worried. Yeah, oh, thank you so much. Now all the worry just melted out of my life, you know. But here's the deal. I love the Bible. I love scriptures because it doesn't pull any punches. God's mercy meets us where we at. The standard stays the same, and that's the standard. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, he just doesn't leave it right there. He tells us how to do that, and he continues. Paul continues, and he says this. But in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And so as we talk, as we share with God, we need to not be anxious about anything, and we can give him all of our worries. It says every situation. We can give God our little teeny tiny worries that we're embarrassed to admit, and we can give him our huge colossal worries that we're also embarrassed to admit. We can give him all worries, big and small, because they're all small to him. And he cares for us. And as we give them to him, what we need to do is we need to develop this attitude of thankfulness, this attitude of gratitude, which rhymes. Maybe I should have written that down. But thankfulness, this is another thing that Jasmine had mentioned, is that thankfulness doesn't change necessarily the situation, but it does change your heart. And we always have things to be thankful for. When you're worried, when you're stressed, you need to take an inventory of what is good, of how you can say thank you to God. When you do that, it's like when you're lost driving. We were in Tustin yesterday, and I have a new driver in my family, and we drove past a McDonald's, and the first time I got my driver's license, that was the first place I went, which is, where else is the first place that you should go is McDonald's, but it took me an hour and a half to get there. Back then, you know, we had the Thomas Guide maps, and I was too prideful to pull over and ask somebody for advice, so I just basically drove every which way. But as we, what does that have to do with this, is that as we're asking God for help, we need to say thank you, and it's like turning the GPS on. And you have the true north, but you have the right direction to go. It's like being in a dark room and turning on the light. Thankfulness changes our perspective. The other side of communication is listening, and that's why we have this last scripture on your notes. This is from Psalm 1. It's a great, great psalm. Not that they're all not great, but there's 150 of them. You got to start somewhere. Number one's a good place to start. But it says this: blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. So law of the Lord, you know, meant Old Testament. They didn't call it that. Old Testament. The law of the Lord is the Bible. So blessed is the one whose delight is in the Bible, in God's word, and who meditates on his law day and night. Now, here's the deal. I told you there was some good news about worry. The first piece of good news is that worry comes from a good place. It comes from concern. You ought to have concerns. If you have zero concerns, you've got other problems that we need to talk about. But here's the other thing about worry that is really good and really awesome. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Now, meditate's a weird word, I understand. You might be thinking, you know, hot yoga and going like this or whatever they do. That's not necessarily, I don't know, I've never done the yoga. I don't know what that's happening. But meditating just means fixing your thoughts on God's truth. And that is so important to be able to do. And if you know how to worry, you know how to worship. Years ago, 25 years ago, there was a men's conference at our church that I did not want to go to. I was one of the high school, I was on the high school staff, and we had lots of things to do. I was a very, very busy person, and I did not have time to go to the men's conference. And then I was actually out to lunch with three volunteers. They were all going, and they're like, McGill, you got to go to the conference. And I was like, no, I don't want. And then they're like, no, you got to go. It'll change your life. And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, I'll go, but I'm not really going for me. I'm just going to, you know, encourage these volunteers and to get to know them a little better, and it'll be good. So I showed up to the conference, and honestly, it's impacted my faith for 25 years. And let me tell you how that happened. So the speaker was this guy named J.P. Moreland, who's a professor, college. Some of you are smiling. So you've heard, he had this book that came out. It was called Love God With All Your Mind. And so he was the speaker at this conference. And one of the things he was talking about was meditating, was prayer. And how do you pray without ceasing? And then he said, here's a prayer that I say hundreds and hundreds of times a day. And it has become my habit to try and do the same. I want it to be the first thing I say in the morning, which usually it's not, because it's like, oh, morning. You know, that's just to be honest, I hate the mornings. All sane people do. But I do want it to be the last thing I say at night. Like, this is my prayer. When I'm at a red light and I'm stopped, then I just quickly say this in my head. When I'm caught up in a worry storm, it's where my brain goes. And I'll tell you what it is in a second. And it's not this super great, some of you are like, just get to it, right? It's not this, you know, super magical, like it works for me. And maybe God has something different for you. But for me, you know, J.P. Moreland, he shared this at the conference. It was very simple. It's just seven words. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And you even, I would pause. I'd pause on the word Lord. You know, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. You know, Lord Jesus, you are human, God flesh. Like, thank you. You know, Jesus Christ, you are the Messiah, the promised one. Thank you. You know, and so, I mean, I could do like an 8-week sermon series on just that phrase, because I've thought about it. I've meditated on it so much. And this is what we need to do. We need to listen to God. And the one way that we can do that is to repeat his truth in our lives. So here's the deal. As we wrap things up here and conclude, I want to recognize the fact that some of us worry a ton. And if you are in the middle of a worry storm right now, a few cute little points on the paper with some scriptures, like, it might feel like a slap in the face. And I understand that. I understand that, and I would only say one thing to that. The peace that God gives us, this peace that transcends understanding, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, weak, I will give you rest for your souls. Like Jesus promises us rest, promises us peace. That peace is too valuable to give up. It's too valuable to give up. And if you are living without that peace, if you're living with kind of a pretend mockery of pretending to have the peace, let's make a decision to turn our worry into worship. What if we were a people who were committed to worshiping God rather than worrying about things that are just temporary? What kind of impact would this have in our family, with our neighbors, where we work, or where we go to school? We can be a people of peace and of confidence, but we need to give our worry up over to God. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much that you're always with us. Thank you, Lord, for Jasmine, who was bold and had the confidence in you to share her story. Lord, I know that it was a blessing for me, but it was also a blessing for many who are here today. God, we thank you that you are working in our lives, that you don't just pick one or two people to change their life, but you open the floodgates, and you want all of us to give up our worries so that we can be focused on you. Lord, we thank you for your peace. We need it. Our world needs your peace. And Lord, while we can't create it on our own, we do come to you for help. We give you our sins, even the sins of anxiousness, sins of pride. We give you, Lord, our plans that are separate from you, and we just, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy that makes our hearts pure. Thank you for your love that we cannot earn, we cannot lose. Remind us of your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.